gonna get off my jacket. It's a little warm in here. I'm an addict. My name's Sean. I'll be very honest. I am very nervous. You know, I've spoken before, but today I'm nervous. And I suffer some secondary illnesses that, so right now I'm feeling a little anxious and I wanted to share that. So I'm gonna take a deep breath and connect with my higher power, and then I'm gonna begin, okay? Okay, I'm an addict, my name's Sean. Thank you to the TACNA committee for asking me to do this. And I am part of the Toronto Fellowship, and but I've spent most of my time in another fellowship, and that was in the city of Ottawa. Yeah, and there's a few of those few people from Ottawa here. What's special about that is the ability that And what's so special about this program is the ability that no matter where you are, you're not alone. You know, that's really special about NA. That's the thing that I find most special about it. I don't need to be alone. I can choose to be, but I don't need to be. And all I have to do is go online, look on a meeting list, contact people I know, and go to a meeting. The faces are different. The way it looks is different. The way it may be run is slightly different. But those feelings, those emotions, I connect with all of those. You know? And that's what I think of when you're finding our place. You know, when I think back to my using, and when I was young, you know, I never felt I belonged. It just was the way I was. I just didn't belong. I didn't belong when I was at school. I didn't connect with my family. You know. And then I found something that made me feel better. You know, and like the speaker said last night, eventually that stopped working. But at the beginning, it did work. And I could get more, or I could get different things, and it would continually work. But then there was a point where no matter what I did, no matter how much I used, no matter what it was, it didn't work anymore. But I got to that point where I had to do it. Because if I didn't do it, I couldn't function. That's where my using took me. And that quick transition was faster than anything. And I remember that moment because I remember going, oh crap. You know, because when I was out using, I was different. I was different than everyone else. I wasn't as bad as everybody else. You know? I mean, I was going to school. I got a degree. I got a job. I got promotions. I can't be an addict, because that's not what an addict is. But you know what? While I was finding my place in society based on accolades, I had no place. I had not found any place inside. I was still searching. That's why I was using. So while I was living my life one way at work, I was a different person at night. And you know what? Every relationship I had, every relationship I tried to have, as my using went on, disappeared. Because I didn't know how to have a relationship. I could talk to you, but I couldn't connect with you. I couldn't feel, you know? Because if I felt, I wanted to use. You know, I thought the reason I didn't find my place was for a variety of other reasons, right? That I'm a gay man. That was it. Once I accept I'm gay, then I found my place. No. That I had other illnesses. Once I accept that, I find my place. No. I kept using. I kept using. Because that is what I am. I'm an addict. That's what I am. I say I'm an addict. My name is Sean. I say that first because I'm an addict. And I never want to forget that. The moment I accepted that, the moment I started the path of recovery is when life started to change. And you know what? I didn't do this for anyone because, you know, I remember 2 years before I got clean, I was out using, and then I got a call from my mother. And my father went to the hospital. And I said, she asked me if I could go see. She was in, she lives out of town. So I went to the hospital in Ottawa, and I was mad because I was like, oh, I just want to keep using. So I saw him, there he was, okay. I'm just gonna wait till he's in his room and settle and go. And all I kept thinking how mad I was at him because I wanted to go use. The doctor called me in into his office and said that your father will not make it out of the hospital, he's dying. And I broke down. You know, I never got to see my father again alive. And you know, I live with a lot of guilt over that, right? So I said, I will never use again. And I used a day later. Because, see, I could stop, but I couldn't stay stopped. Tragedy was not going to get me to stop. A promise to anyone crying was not going to get me to stop. The reality is I had to hit my bottom. I had to hit my bottom, not your bottom, mine. And I had to do it for me. You know, I remember when I finally decided to go to treatment because, as I said, it wasn't working anymore. I couldn't stop using and it wasn't working anymore. It wasn't getting any thrill. There was no more high anymore. It was gone. You know, and any time I think about the using days or I get weak, I remember, let's go back to the final using days. Not the days at the beginning when I was 20 years old, because those are gone. Those aren't coming back. That method doesn't work anymore. You know, I went into treatment, and you know, when I went into treatment, I was so desperate to get in that I said, you need to take me now. And they said, no, you're going to go on a waiting list. I said, I'll go use. And the reality is it did not matter. I was going to use anyway, because I didn't know any other way. I didn't know any other way, but I now had an excuse. See, I like to have excuses to use, right? I'm happy, I'm sad, I'm horny, I'm angry, whatever. You know, I'll use. You know. But I finally got in. And you know what? When I first got in to recovery, all I wanted was to stop using. That's it. That's all I wanted, to come out of that and just stop using. And you know what? As an addict, I'm really not good with expectations. My expectations are way up here, which I'm going to be disappointed with, or I put them so low that I'm really cheating myself of what I can possibly do. And when I came in here, I thought, all I want to do is just stop using. I'll find a place, I won't use. And you know, I'm grateful today that went way beyond my expectation. You know, when I came in these rooms, you know, I came into an area that, you know, I found people that understood me. You know, you got the idea of finding your place. You know, I've never been to an NA meeting, an NA convention. I've never had a conversation with a still suffering addict. And not been connected. You know, it's powerful. You look at when you go into a meeting and we all, you know, we do the serenity prayer in a circle. It's magical. You know, what brings us together is that we suffer from the same disease. And how do I stay clean? It's the people within this program. I don't stay clean because of anything special trick that I have. You know, every special trick I did have, I was very good at picking up because my methods never worked. They don't. Left to my own devices, I'm a disaster. And I know that. But it doesn't mean that over the last 10 years, they haven't come creeping back. You know, the reality is I'm an addict. I like to isolate. I like to lie. I like to be closed-minded, unwilling. That's the fallbacks. When the disease is at its best, that's where I go. You know, it doesn't have to, though. It doesn't have to. You know, when I first came in here, you know, I got clean, and I went to meetings, and I got a sponsor. But you know what I didn't do? I didn't do a really important thing. I didn't do my step work. So when you're looking at finding your place, I mean, all I was that same, the same things that were inside were there. I just wasn't picking up. And I remember at my 2 years, around my 2 years, I had a major breakdown in a meeting. And because the pain was just too much. The pain was just too much to keep doing what I was doing. You know, so I started doing my step work. And I mean, if you really want to find yourself, it's always at the steps. It really is. All your answers are in the steps. You know, people say a lot of work. I've said the same thing, but you know what? Somewhere along the line, I thought I wasn't worth it. But I am worth it. And everyone in this room is worth it. You deserve to do your step work. Because you'll find out things about yourself that you'll be surprised. And maybe that was part of it for me, that fear. Because you know, as bad as using was and how uncomfortable, it was what it was for so long. And sometimes being in an uncomfortable thing you know becomes easy to do, no matter how painful it was. And then I'm going to change things. Change is scary. But like our, you know, says the courage to change the things we can. I know me, I had no courage. Outside, it was a different person. Inside, completely different. You know? What was I going to find out about myself? What are people going to think about me? The things I've done, the mistakes I've made, the lengths I went to use. You know, I tried to find my place when I was out there using. And I wanted people to like me, and I wanted people to be in my life, but by doing so, I violated myself. I allowed abuse to happen. I allowed things to happen to me that I wouldn't allow to happen to anyone I love. But it was okay to happen to me because I needed it. I needed it to get what I needed. I needed it to use. I needed to find my place. And I honestly believed my place was to be a lifetime drug addict. I honestly believe that when I look in a mirror, I would see the loser I was destined to be. That's what I believed. And you know what? That's not true. And if anyone ever thinks that, it's not true. Our disease doesn't want us to get healthy. It resists recovery. Recovery is simple, and it is, but it's not easy. Because, you know, we have to do the legwork. You know, if you have a physical ailment, 90% of the medical profession will do the work, you do 10. We've got to do it the other way around. You know? And I'm grateful for the rooms. Because you know what? That sounds really scary. That sounds really overwhelming. But the reality is, look around this room. I don't have to do that alone. None of us have to do that alone. And that's amazing. You know, in going through the steps, step one was easy for me in that it was acceptance of my disease and the unmanageability. But the thing I needed to really watch was the idea of reservations. The things I wanted to keep so I could send myself back out there. You know, it's funny, you do your steps, but you really get a better understanding of your steps as you stay in the program. Because you know what? You might be writing step one, but you might be working on that other step and finally understand a piece, right? God willing, this July, I will have 10 years clean. And what I always get amazed by is what I learn every day. You know, sometimes people talk about getting to step two and step three and then the God and the higher power and so forth. And, you know, all I know is that I believed in a power greater than myself for all my using. Every time I picked up. You know, there were days I swore I will never do it again. And I picked up. I remember the one time I went to my dealer crying, driving there, crying, going up in the elevator, crying, getting it. And he's like, what the hell's going on? Crying all the way down the street. But I still did it. Because I just couldn't stop. So like yesterday, the speaker talked about flipping the switch, you know, and sometimes I have to keep it that simple for me in this program, keeping it simple, keep the program simple, you know. So there was a power greater than myself that went down a destructive path. There must be one that goes down a much better path. Do I have to know what it is right now? No, it's a journey. I loved in step three, it talks about a spiritual journey. It took the pressure off because I was that type going, I don't know if I know the answer. You don't need to know the answer, you know? And today I still won't even share my answer with anyone because I don't want to screw it up. So I don't share it, but I know it's true, you know? And my sponsor talks a lot about, you know, the idea of what are my wants, but what are my needs today? I have a lot of wants. It's good to have wants. It's good to have desires, but it may not be what I need. You know, sometimes they may coincide, but sometimes they don't. You know, and that's okay. You know, you can get to step four. I used to always hear in rooms when you talk about step four, people be scared of it. Resentments, writing that list. Oh my goodness, how am I going to get through it? Everyone's on step four. And I'll tell you right now, it is a great step. None of the steps are horrible steps. None of the steps. Are they uncomfortable? I hope so. Because if they're not uncomfortable, you don't change. You don't find your place. And let me tell you, that's where it's all going to happen. It's going to happen in those steps. It's going to happen you working that those steps, opening that door to a place you can only imagine. You know, I read recently, it said that we get a glimpse of what our higher power has for us. And if we just follow along, we'll go to places we never thought possible. And I believe that. I believe that. You know, and I love when my sponsor said to me, what step four tells you is you're not as good as you think you are, and you're not as bad as you think you are. And I finally got to understand the idea of humility. Because I would take on everybody's stuff, and no, it's not your stuff, Sean. You know, I would walk into a room, and I'm learning in this program to find my place. Also, to know I don't have to take up all the space in a room, because that's what I did. I walk in a room, I'd taken it all up, you know. And today, no, I don't have to take up all that space. I have my space, you have your space, everyone has their space, you know. But where did I learn that? I learned that here. You know, also the fact of, I love this right now. I'm working step nine. I'm so grateful, you know, that, you know, at the beginning you think, oh, I want to apologize to everybody, you know, and I'm going to say, I'm sorry. Right. Those are two words I don't want to hear, because I can blanket everybody with an I'm sorry, you know, it'll, but what am I sorry for? What do I need to make amends for? Because the whole point is, I don't want to do it again. You know? You know, I look at my character defects. And you know, how many people, you write your character defects out, and then they say, okay, write your assets. And it's the hardest list to write. But the character defects, you're like, okay, I'm on page 8. You know, like you're writing, and you just keep going. You know, but that's what we're like. But we have assets. We have great assets. We have defects. But you know what? Writing those defects down, clumping those defects. My sponsor said, we're going to take this huge list, we're going to break it to 3. Because a lot of them link. Because I'm like, I asked him, I said, how am I going to monitor these? It'll take me all day. I'm like, so... But you know what? That's where our disease takes us. We're not worth it. We're not worth it. You know? But we are worth it. So those assets are so important. Those assets are so fundamental. And the defects allow us, being aware of them allows me to say, okay, this is happening. I don't want to do this again. I don't want to go down that path again. You know? Then I don't have to make an amends for something again that I know I don't want to do. And you know what? That's what, you know, the steps do for me. I get to find out who I am. And sponsorship, I'm really lucky. Even though I'm here, my sponsor's in Ottawa. And we connect on phone and through Skype. And I'm very lucky to have two fellowships that I know, in Ottawa and here. But you know, sponsorship is huge. And a sponsor isn't someone you just hang out with. You contact once in a while. Because I did that. Contact once in a while, and then not contact, and then okay, everything, the shit's hitting the fan, maybe I'll contact him, and you know. How can I, for me, it's difficult for me to be able to find my place in this program and in life without the help of my sponsor. And all my sponsor does is share his experience, strength, and hope with me. And that's powerful. That's powerful. They give me the experience of how they've worked the steps. You know? That's a gift. So when I share with them, they understand. They can empathize. You know, and I'm very grateful for that. So if you don't have a sponsor, you need to get a sponsor. You need to have a sponsor. And you know, and I'd like to say that my recovery has always been great, but it has not. I would say about 2.5 years ago, my life changed. I got busy. Life got busy. Everyone who knows me knows how busy I was. I was working 12-hour days. I was successful in my job. I didn't go to as many meetings as I needed to. I stopped working my steps. I didn't relapse. But I was in the middle of a relapse. I just didn't use. I had built myself up. I was defined by my career. And you know, we talk about, you know, when you're looking at yourself, we get seduced by the external pieces of our life. Oh, look, I have this and I have that and I have this. Oh, look what recovery's given me. It's given me a job and a car and a house. That's not what recovery gives you. They're added pieces, sure. But I didn't see that. And I had a breakdown. And I tried to end my life. But I didn't. But I wanted to. And I was in a hospital and ashamed. And guilt. And I remember my sponsor and three other members came, and I didn't want them to come. And I was afraid for them to come. And they showed up with these big smiles. And they had a meeting with me. And I've started a new journey in my life. You know? The job that I had that was so great, and they didn't want me anymore. They made it pretty clear. All the people I work with didn't talk to me anymore. But you know who didn't turn their back on me? Narcotics Anonymous and the people in here. They hugged me and they loved me. When I didn't really want to love myself. So I got the help I needed, inside the rooms and outside. And I started the next journey. And decided, okay, I need to change my path in life. And, you know, I'm now doing something different in my life. And I'm in Toronto, and I'm back in school, and I'm enjoying it. And you can say, yeah, outside it looks good again. But I can tell you the biggest difference is what's inside. You know, I have acceptance. Acceptance for who I am. Acceptance for being an addict. Acceptance for my mental health. I have acceptance. I wouldn't have any of that if it wasn't for this program. I may be getting help for other things outside of this program, but without this program, I have nothing. And I do not deny that. I do not doubt that. I needed to go down that road. My sponsor said, when that happened, he said, Sean, one day you'll look at why this needed to happen. But right now you're not there. We don't need to go there now. I look back at that. Someone, I was talking to someone, if you could change that moment. I don't want to change that moment. That pinnacle moment, that moment when I had to go into the hospital, that moment, too many good things came. Because if that moment didn't happen, maybe I don't try to harm myself, maybe I use. And maybe I'm not here today. So that needed to happen, and that's okay. You know, that's okay. You know, I get to live my life differently today. I'm going back to school. Last time I went to school, I don't even have the degrees up because I used the whole time through them and I'm ashamed of them and I'm manipulated and stuff. And now I'm going to make an amends to myself by going back to school clean. I develop relationships differently today. I don't take for granted the relationships I have or the new relationships I form. I share openly with them. I've been vulnerable with people in this city because and learn from my experience with people from Ottawa to be a different person. Because you know what? That's what we do in this program. I can't change the past. I cannot change it. And when we do step 9, I cannot say, oh, I'm sorry I did this. What am I going to do from now on to show that I am making amends? How am I going to change? And you know what? That's this program. That's the steps. That's working this program. You know, I sometimes people will say relapse is part of recovery. I don't believe that. Relapse is part of the disease. It is an aspect of this disease. It may be your story. You may have to go through that. And we'll welcome you back with loving arms. But if you don't have to go through relapse. You don't. I can tell you that now. I love that recovery is a journey. And it's always changing. It's never going to be the same. And I'm thank God, I don't know about you, but thank goodness it's not going to be the same. Because if it was, I'd get the hell out of here. I get bored, you know? You know, if recovery was recovered, then I mean, oh good, I'm fixed, let me leave. Oh great, now I'm gonna use because I don't know what else to do because I'm an addict. You know, that's a reality. It's recovery, it's a journey. And it's like looking at it two ways. I was sharing today, I said, you can look at recovery and okay, sometimes I get in that headspace, oh, I gotta go again, I gotta go, it's Friday night, I'm gonna go to the meeting, or I'm gonna go to a meeting on a Saturday, oh, I'd just rather lie on the couch, why can't I be like everybody else? I'm not like everybody else, first of all. I can look at, oh yeah, I have to do these things, oh, what a burden, or I can look at it, oh, I have get to do these things to live a better life. What way do I wanna look at it? Because they mean the same thing. And I want to live a better life. You know, I want to live, you know, I'm a guy of metaphors. When I was using, it was like being in a room in the dark, trying to find my way and keep banging into everything. Not turning the lights on. I'm going to find my way through this room. And I'm going to keep banging into everything again and again and again and again and again and swear and all that other stuff. And you know what? In recovery, having faith in a higher power, it's like there's a flashlight. Follow the light. Okay, I can do that. I still got to do the work. I got to follow the light. But where's it going to end? I don't know. Just have to have faith. Have to have courage. Courage to change. Courage to find out the person I can be. You know? And who's that going to be? I don't know. I still don't. I don't need to know. And I was using it was all about knowing everything, and I knew nothing, but I wanted to know everything. And was like, oh my God, you know, trying to figure out all the lies I told everyone. What stress that was. I mean, did I lie to you and you have a different lie and you're going to talk? I got to come up with a third lie. You know, it was like that house of cards, and then it all crumbles. It will crumble. Now I don't have to do that today. You don't have to worry about all these, what are they going to say to me? You know? And for me, my higher power, when I go in terms of my higher power, it's living the spiritual principles. You know? Am I perfect at them? No. That's why we practice. We practice. You know? You know, I said to my sponsee, I said, you know, just because someone has 20-some years versus a year, or less than a year, we still react the same way to certain things. We all initial reaction. But if you have more recovery time, then you just get to a solution maybe a little quicker. You get a little more, you know, that ease, that period gets sometimes a little shorter. But the reaction is the same. We're no different. It doesn't matter, you know. And I read one time that sometimes we ask, oh, I want to know the solution. And someone said, well, that's because we want control. We want the solution because then we can have control. We got the answer. But the reality is sometimes you don't get to know the solution. You're just going to have to walk through it. You know? So when I think about my place in recovery today, it is right now, right here. I don't know where it'll be in a couple days. But what I do know is if I work my program, if I open my mouth, if I live by the spiritual principles to the best of my ability, I'll be okay. And I mean, I read a Just for Today recently, and I've read it many times. It was about surrender. All this program says, you just have to surrender for today. That's it. And I was like, wow, I've read this before. But it was here and not here. It's not an intellectual disease. It's got to go here. You know. And sometimes when it gets to there, I don't know when that's going to happen. It's going to happen different for every single person in this room. Your connection, your journey is going to be different. Cannot say that on question 4 of step 6 you're going to have an epiphany. No. Maybe you will, but what I do know is that if we pick up, we get none of that. No one has ever said they picked up and life got better. No one has ever said they picked up and they found what they were looking for. No. So I think that's all I've got for today.
That was great. Thank you, Sean. And on behalf of TACNA9, I would like to thank Sean for sharing his experience, strength, and hope with us. And please join us in a circle and close this meeting with the we version of the Serenity Prayer.
See, they got a second one.
Melody, take us out. Take us out.
Let the circle come
on.
My name is Melanie.
I'm Melanie.
Let the circle represent what we can't do alone, what we can do together. Can I have a moment of silence for the still suffering addict inside and outside these rooms, followed by the complete version of the Serenity Prayer? Can I have that moment now, please?
It's fine.